Hello and welcome to the Game House College Sports Show. I am Joe. With me is Kyle, as always, to talk about college football this week. We're going to recap week four. We're going to preview week five. We had a lot of good action going on this weekend. College football almost always delivers. We also had another coach getting fired. We're just every single week a Power Five coach is getting fired. We're going to keep on doing that probably for the next month. But Kyle, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Like you said, another great week of college football. It always delivers. So.
Absolutely. We'll start off with the coach who was fired. It is Jeff Collins of Georgia Tech. They have not looked good in many of their games. They started off the year playing Clemson tight for about 2.5 quarters and then just fell apart. They have some guys who transferred out. Jahmyr Gibbs is now at Alabama. They have a quarterback in Jeff Sims who looks like he has some potential, but that's about all they got on the team. They have some big, big problems. They did not fully transition from the triple option to the more traditional offense that Jeff Collins wanted to, and you know, after 3+ years there, he is now gone.
Yeah, not really surprising. They didn't look good at all, really, this year. You said they had a couple quarters there against Clemson. They did. They looked fine. Ole Miss kind of laid them down to die. Take some credit here, but you can't go in and do what you did last week again. You know, UCF, they kind of laid down and died. That wasn't close. So the firing makes sense.
Yeah, I think so too. There's only you can only get so much time, and I get it was, you know, kind of tough at first moving a team from triple option to more traditional offense. But I mean, in today's day and age, when you got the transfer portal and you can recruit your own guys too, at this point, if it's not looking good, it looks like the team's kind of giving up on them. I think you got to make the move. So they made the move. Some guys I'm looking at to possibly replace them. Todd Monken is the offensive coordinator at Georgia. He has NFL experience too. He'd be a good fit just because they need to figure out that offense. And specifically, they've made the transition now for a couple of years. It still isn't great. Deion Sanders is going to be brought up for about every school, everywhere. He can recruit with the best of the best, even at Jackson State. So give him a place like Georgia Tech, where he lived in Atlanta for a long time playing for the Braves and Falcons. That could be good. Bill O'Brien is reportedly a candidate too. I'm not really sure. He hasn't really proven himself yet at Alabama, but any guy who is associated with Nick Saban usually gets another shot. And Dan Mullen, he had some success at Mississippi State. You know, I don't want to say it's a totally different job than Georgia Tech, but they're both underdogs in their conferences. They're both not expected to do a lot as when he was at Mississippi State. So maybe some good stuff there. And then Jamie Chadwell, the Coastal Carolina head coach, could be a potential guy too, Kyle. They run a spread option offense. It's kind of a hybrid of the two styles. Maybe they want to go back to more of that type of option play, to kind of be more deceitful in how they run their offense. They have some guys who would be good with that fit. And Chadwell's been a good coach, but Coastal Carolina's been good, and he has not seemingly wanted to leave Myrtle Beach, which I can't necessarily blame him for.
No, I agree. And those are all good candidates. I mean, I kind of view Georgia Tech as kind of like a place, as we've seen a couple other places, that it seems like it's a place where you don't necessarily go to die, but that's going to be a hard project. I do think it'd be a good spot for somebody like Deion Sanders, even Dan Mullen or somebody like that, where the opportunity is there. I mean, like you said, it's good recruiting grounds. Georgia's a great place with a lot of options. And you also are in the ACC, where your really only competition right now is Clemson. Florida State's on the rise, but you know, UNC's kind of taking a back seat at this point. You know, they had the big start with Mack Brown, but they're not there anymore. So it feels like there is a window there at Georgia Tech and in the ACC. And I think that's somewhere somebody like Deion or Dan Mullen could thrive. Hugh Freeze also, I've heard his name brought up. I know he's dying to get back to Power 5. He's in a great spot at Liberty, to be honest. But I've heard his name tossed around a little bit as well. But, you know, that, like you're saying, you know, that's an opportunity for somebody if they want to take it. It's a risk, but it's an opportunity.
Yeah, I think maybe something you mentioned pre-show too, like, it's not the hardest thing to be an average team in the ACC. So you could get that job and win 8 games a year, maybe. Like, you know, 7-8 games a year and maybe keep your job. Sure. It's probably better than going to a place like, I'm going to use them because it's topical right now, because this is probably the next head coach we're going to talk about getting fired. But Brian Harsin goes to Auburn. You know, if you don't beat Bama every year, which is totally unreasonable to expect, like, you're fired. So maybe it's a job people consider, like, you can build some job security. You can live in Atlanta. You can recruit Georgia. The expectation level isn't just high as much as it is at other places. So something to think about for some of those coaches, I guess.
Yeah, I think I'm right there with you. I think I'd take a Georgia Tech spot over Auburn. They're on their second hot seat in like 2 or 3 years. So, and they have a lot of boosters issues. They got a lot of upper people that are kind of meddling with everything. And I think Georgia Tech is like you were saying, a safe option and a place you could go if you're just trying to get back into the game. Or, you know, if you're a solid coach, you can win at Georgia Tech. I mean, we've seen it happen before. Mm-hmm. So,
hey, if Paul Johnson can win with a triple option, I mean, I'm sure anyone can get some stuff done. They went to an ACC championship. They had some big seasons. Yes, you have some down seasons with a triple option. That's just kind of how it works. But if you're okay with that, then go with it. All right, let's go to our recap of week four. Kyle, we have a lot to recap this week. A lot happened, which is always good for us. Let's start with the Michigan and Maryland game. This was a game that was pretty close throughout. Michigan ended up winning by 7 points. This is notable because Blake Corum had a huge day. He is making himself a Heisman candidate with 243 yards, 2 touchdowns. J.J. McCarthy is now the starting quarterback for Michigan. He looked pretty solid as well. But this was their, I guess, overall as a team, this was their first big test. They played the easiest non-conference schedule in college football. Maryland is by no means the biggest test, but it is a test for them. And I would say I'm a little unimpressed as a team overall. I'm very impressed with McCarthy and Corum so far. But other than that, like, I feel like they should have, the spread on this game was 17 points, and there's a coin flip here or there where Maryland wins this game.
Yeah, I was actually kind of tuned into this one a little bit, just like you said, because they were it was a close game, and you know you get 3 turnovers from your defense, and you still can't do anything better than a 7 point win. You said like you it was a 7.5 point spread or whatever it was.
17 point spread.
17, excuse me. Tolia didn't have a good game, and the Michigan defense didn't really. They stopped them sometimes, but it was all turnovers and. You know, Maryland had a chance there at the end, like you were saying, despite having a terrible game from their quarterback. And I don't know if it says more about Michigan or if it says more about Maryland. And I would like to think it says more about Maryland. I kind of like, you know, where the Terrapins are going this year. But, yeah, I don't know. Maybe Michigan isn't all we're hyping them up to be. The offense looked great, like you were saying. Blake Corum, McCarthy, everybody, you know, they had good offensive movement and – I don't know, just the defense, you need to shape that up a little bit.
Yeah, I think Maryland has talented players, but, like, giving up 27 points probably shouldn't be something that happened, especially, like you said, Talia did not have his best game either, so they should have been able to shut that down a little bit better. I am kind of watching Michigan the rest of the way here. Maybe there's a tough game coming up here or there that you maybe pull an upset bid on just because they haven't really proven that they can beat great teams yet. They haven't proven that they can pull away from a team like Maryland, and I think that's something that they'll have to do eventually. So, next game up, we have Clemson and Wake Forest. This game went into overtime, and Clemson ended up winning 51-45. I think the good news for Clemson is their offense got going here. This was the big problem last year. They couldn't get the offense going. Even though Wake Forest defense is not the greatest and had some injuries in the secondary, I think 3 defensive backs were out for this one. But you get DJ Uiagalelei throwing for 371 yards, 5 touchdowns. That's good. Will Shipley ran for over 100 yards. That's good. So you feel good about that. The defense probably should have played better because Wake Forest was finding a lot of success with Sam Hartman throwing the ball deep against this Clemson secondary. For that reason, I think you got to be a little bit concerned because this week they might be happy a Hurricane's coming when they're playing NC State with another good quarterback they're playing. It's just long-term, you got to get the secondary figured out, but at least a good win here for Clemson based on last year, this is a game they may have lost.
Yeah, you pretty much said everything. It's a good quarterback, a good offense, and going into this next week against NC State, you hope that they're fresh and ready to go because you're going to need to be. Otherwise, this is going to happen again. Wake Forest had several chances. They had opportunities to win this game. They just didn't convert. The Clemson defense is concerning, but like you said, DJ doing really well. They also they had some Will Shipley help. I think the offense at least is looking good, but you know you got to get the defense shaped in there too.
Absolutely, and that's if they want to be that fourth playoff team, if they want to win the ACC, they're going to have to figure that out.
Yeah, as of now, I'm concerned.
Yeah, me too. All right, the next one up we have is Oklahoma and Kansas State. And Kyle, Kansas State was coming off a loss to Tulane. Maybe, people wrote them off. Maybe they were looking ahead to Oklahoma. Who knows? They come in and win this one 41-34. Specifically, a good performance from Adrian Martinez, the former Nebraska quarterback. Deuce Vaughn kind of helps him out with that as well. But Oklahoma, Brent Venables' first big game, and he really doesn't show that well, especially on, you know, he's a defensive guy, gives up 41 points to Kansas State. Overall, though, I think they might be fine down the road. This is a team they have struggled with historically. They've lost, this is the third time in the last 4 years they've lost Kansas State.
Yeah, I mean, kudos to Kansas State. I mean, they did have that bad loss early on, but that's a big win for them. I mean, it's not easy to beat Oklahoma or anything. Adrian Martinez has looked really good this year. I think he's looked better than he did at Nebraska. I guess you can kind of assume that's going to happen. He's a year newer. You know, he's got more experience under him. But I just think Kansas State's using him a little differently than Nebraska did. He's using his arm a little bit more. And I don't know. I think he can get the Kansas State team to 8 wins this year. I mean, this could be a good year for the Wildcats. Oklahoma, I think, is going to be fine. But, yeah, this is not a loss you wanted to have this early in the season.
Definitely not. State of Kansas is doing really well in football right now. I'm just going to throw that out there. It's going to be
game day at the end of the year. Just wait.
That'd be amazing. All right, one of the other games we previewed, USC and Oregon State. I don't think we had predicted the game would go like this, like maybe closer than the experts thought. But USC won 17-14. Oregon State kind of had it right within their fingertips and kind of fourth quarter gave up 14 points to USC. We mentioned last week how we both thought Oregon State was a pretty good team. Kyle, you had mentioned you liked them a lot too. But for me, this is all about, I mean, USC is a team we thought was going to be really good. And yes, traveling to Corvallis is tough, but like this offense is what Lincoln Riley's supposed to be good at, and that performance was not good.
It's tough. This year it's a lot less tough. They have half a stadium they're working with, so I don't think that's that daunting of a place anymore. But this year anyway, you know, until they get the stadium figured out or whatever. But they definitely have a lot of rowdy fans that, you know, normally that'd be a tough place to play. I'm still big on Oregon State. I thought this was a great game by them. They come in, they get 4 turnovers. They're -4 in the turnover margin. You still lose by 3. You lose it late, too. I still like Oregon State. That offensive line looks good. USC's a good team. You know, I think they're a little high right now in the top 5, top 10. I think that's a little premature. But, you know, as long as you don't lose, you get to keep that spot. And they didn't lose on Saturday. So,
yeah, it's worth looking at, like, Anthony Richardson was this guy we talked about before the season for Florida as someone who had good flashes of play but mostly kind of didn't play well. Caleb Williams kind of was an upgraded version of that. Like, he played well last year. He had some bad moments. And this year he's played well so far, like an upgraded version of himself. But in this game he went 16-36 for 180 yards. And that's, you know, some credit to Oregon State's defense, but that is a bad game for a quarterback, especially in Lincoln Riley's system where they kind of exploit the wide receivers to get them open kind of in short area yardage routes. So just something to watch out for in the next couple weeks here because USC will probably have some more tests coming up. Arkansas and Texas A&M in Dallas and Jerry World, A&M won 23-21. This is the game is just shows you how close things can kind of turn. Arkansas had a chance to score a touchdown on what looked like a quarterback sneak from like the 3-yard line where KJ Jefferson jumped into the end zone. God knows why he was jumping from the 3, holding the ball out. He fumbles. Texas A&M starts returning it. They have a guy held up. He pitches it basically to another guy who returns it a la Ed Reed when he was at Miami. That changes things. Arkansas loses all momentum until the fourth quarter. They score a touchdown to bring it to within 2, have a chance at a game-winning field goal. And it is the second time this college football season, I believe the other game was a Tulsa game, where the ball was kicked, hit the top of the upright, and bounced up and then down outside of the upright. Just terrible luck for Arkansas. I can't really feel too bad for them, though, because they had the game within their grasp when they gave it up. Good for Texas A&M. Kyle, you mentioned that I think that like a lot of people were maybe premature on writing them off. They ran the ball well. Max Johnson looks a lot better. He's still not the greatest quarterback, but looks a lot better than what they had. And, you know, they could definitely win some football games but if they can run the ball like they have been.
That was going to be my first point. I'm happy you brought that up. The quarterback play is still very sus. We're going to be honest here. It's better, you know, than Haynes King, but, like, this 11-21 is not good. He did not command the game. He was not that effective. The bottom line is Devin Achane's great. You know, he was great last year. He's still going to be great this year. There's a reason he was an All-ACC running back. But, you know, you put your finger on that. You know, Arkansas really kind of pissed this game away. I had the same frustration, I guess, week one when UC was clearly the better team. It's just they kept making the mistakes and they ended up throwing it away. Arkansas won. It's almost like the football karma comes back. Arkansas was the better team this game, and Arkansas lost this game. That's a tough field goal to lose on. And I'm happy you pointed out the other time it happened, because I was you know, we're watching that game and I saw that the game was over, the field goal that missed. I was like, I swear I saw this recently. I just can't remember who did this. So thank you for pointing that out. But yeah, no, I mean, I really do think Arkansas was the better team. Maybe A&M continues to get better, but the fact that Max Johnson struggled so much against what was the worst secondary in the SEC, I'm not sold on A&M yet. But I think Arkansas, I wasn't sold on Arkansas going into this week either. I thought they were kind of overhyped as well. The second, like we were saying, the secondary is really not very good. KJ Jefferson's not that lethal with his arm. He's an absolute unit as far as running the ball. And if you get him in space, look out. He can kill you with his arm and he can kill you with his legs when you get there. But that's not always going to be enough to win the game. And that's what we saw last weekend.
Yeah, I'm with you. The just pissing away the game is absolutely right. And Texas A&M, you know, like, it's a bad loss to Appalachian State. Maybe refocused them, and there's been just a lot of drama outside of it. But getting this win is huge for them, I think, just to kind of prove they can beat a team that is, you know, whether they're overrated or not, at least solid in the SEC and, you know, gets things going.
Sure.
And I'm with you. I think we talked about it last week. The loss of Jalen Catalan has made the secondary look just bad. They need to figure that out for Arkansas moving forward, because they got a big game this weekend, so we'll see if they get exploited there. It probably will be, but for now, we'll move on to another SEC game. We had Tennessee beating Florida 38-33. And Kyle, if you would have told me Anthony Richardson was able to throw for 453 yards and two touchdowns, I would have said Florida won that game. Like, I don't know how. I was not expecting him to play to that level, even though he only completed about half of his passes. A lot of credit to this game goes to Hendon Hooker. I think he's kind of solidified himself, and not as just a great player in the SEC, maybe a Heisman candidate, and maybe a NFL draft prospect who might be in the first round. He's a big dude. The only thing that's holding him back is he's like 24 years old already. But, you know, Kenny Pickett got drafted first round this past year, and he was 24 too. So I'm very impressed with Tennessee's ability to win this game when Anthony Richardson had things going right. I think it's a huge step. Tennessee was without their top receiver, Cedric Tillman, and they still got the job done. I think we kind of talked about maybe Tennessee getting to that next level this year, maybe going to a 8 or 9 win season, and I think it's kind of right in front of them now.
Yeah, I mean, like, who else beats Tennessee at this point? I mean, we think we're going to lose to, you know, they're going to lose to Georgia, they're going to lose to Alabama, but you got to have an upset here or there before they get to 3 losses. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I do think 8 or 9 is definitely on the table. AR 15 had a great game. You and I talked about it last week, the week before. Like, he's looked like absolute garbage after that first week, and we had to walk back our, you know, initial, you know, assumption on him after that week one, where he looked amazing against Utah. But, you know, I guess bottom line, he never really, like, he wasn't a difference maker. He wasn't scoring or anything. In this game, he was great. I mean, he had the one pick, but he still looked really good. He did everything he needed to get his team in the game. They were in the game all the way until the end. I mean, came down to an onside kick and everything, and they got it and almost won. But bottom line in this game, Hendon Hooker is as good as we keep thinking he is. I mean, you and I think both had him in our top 5. Mm-hmm. There was a reason for that. He looked great this game. He's looked great all year. I don't think he's even thrown an interception yet. And he is kind of what we thought he was going to be. Yeah, he's old, but I mean, at that point, you know, that's not a bad option to go ahead and draft in the NFL, I think. But he keeps proving that he is that guy.
Absolutely. My favorite stat about Hendon Hooker is he's thrown 3 interceptions over the last 2 years at Tennessee. Only 2 of them have come after he took over as the starter. I think, like, what, 3 or 4 weeks in or whatever it was last year.
Joe Milton, baby.
Joe Milton was the starter. Hendon Hooker should have been the starter from the outright. That's something that was really, really dumb. But
that's my biggest knock on Heupel.
Right?
How do you look at those two quarterbacks and think Milton's better? Like, get out of here.
No, even the limited reps Milton got at Michigan before he transferred, it was just it didn't look good. So I don't know what he saw.
Very mid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, next one up, we have Oregon and Washington State. This is one Washington State actually kind of controlled most of this game. They had a solid defense. Cameron Ward played a little better. He still turned over the ball. But Bo Nix started the first half really, really bad. He scores 29 points in the fourth quarter to come back and win this game. 428 yards, 3 touchdowns. That is the Bo Nix roller coaster. First half, really bad. They score 9 points, no touchdowns. Second half, comes back and plays amazing. That's what we're accustomed to seeing. It's a huge win for Oregon because, obviously, they just kind of, like, gained some of the respect back they got after losing to Georgia. And in that Pac-12 North, them and Washington could be, you know, at the last couple of weeks going after it for the Pac-12 North title. And Washington State, I think, still a solid team. You know, this is a good loss at home, even if you want to call a good loss.
Yeah. No, it's like we were saying. I think it's a lot of good bow, bad bow with Bo Nix. Very similar to that situation. You never know what you're going to get. Sometimes you're going to get elite play. Sometimes you're just going to, you know, get Bo Nix at his worst. It's what we saw against Georgia, but it's what we saw in the first half in this game. But, you know, he turns it around. He comes back. 29 points in the fourth quarter. It's absurd, by the way. Mm-hmm. Cam Ward, you touched on it. You know, he's there, but he's just not quite there. I think it's going to take a little time. You know, he's still a lot of mistakes, too many mistakes. But Washington State is looking like a better team with him, obviously. And I think they still continue that trend upwards. But he has some work to do.
Yeah, definitely does. Maybe he's the guy who transfers in and maybe takes a year to get settled. And then next year he kind of goes off, you know, who knows. But a lot of people are expecting him to be a lot better so far. And they're still 3-1 with a decently tough schedule, a trip to Madison and a game against Oregon. So they have a lot to look forward to if he can improve. Yeah.
They should have won that game against Oregon, so they could be 4-0. Yeah, but
yeah. This is a game I was not able to get a lot of my time on. There's just a lot going on at this point. But we had Baylor and Iowa State. Baylor was ranked coming into this game, but Iowa State was favored. Baylor wins 31-24. It looks like, to me, the little bit I did watch, it looked like Blake Shapen was able to get back on track a little bit with some of those receivers. Not the greatest game, but at the same time, I'm also impressed with Iowa State because, you know, this is the Big 12 champion they're going up against from last year, and they lost a ton from their team last year, but Matt Campbell keeps this thing rolling, keeps them competitive in this game, and, you know, I think they're a bowl team at the very least this year, but then can build on it for next year. It's very tough to keep something going, especially at Iowa State.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm impressed that they were even competitive in this game. The defense of Baylor, I think, just proved a little too much again. They forced the turnovers and everything. But, you know, like you, I didn't get a chance to watch this game fully. I think I was in the car. But, yeah, I mean, Iowa State still staying relevant even after losing so much from last year. I think that's kudos to Matt Campbell. Hopefully he stays. I mean, I'm sure his name's coming up for all these openings, but –
yeah, I mean, hopefully, yeah, I'm with you. Hopefully he stays because I think it's cool if he goes to that Nebraska job. Like, I think he's cool being the Iowa State guy, being the underdog. He goes to Nebraska where he's got all that money, has the boosters kind of breathing down his neck. I don't know, things change. Hopefully he stays and keeps Iowa State somewhat relevant. All right, Texas traveling to Lubbock to take on Texas Tech. We mentioned it was the last time that the Texas was going to go to Texas Tech, assuming that Texas and Oklahoma leave early for the SEC. I always do assume they're going to leave early. They're going to figure things out, so I do assume. But Texas Tech was able to, I think, put together a really good second half in this game. They were down. I was kind of thinking, all right, do I turn this game off? Do I flip it to a different game? Whatever's going on. They have a good second half, go to overtime. They force a Bijan Robinson fumble and then kick a field goal on their half of overtime to get the win. Robinson is now walking around campus with a football in hand, so he doesn't fumble anymore, which good for him. But this is, I don't know. I think this is proof that Texas is a little farther away than maybe people thought after they lost to Alabama, right? They lost by 1 point. A lot of people said they should have won if Bryce Young was ruled as a safety. They have a lot of work to do still.
Yes and no. I think if you get Quinn Ewers in there, I think this could be a win. You know, the backup, he had a good game, but, like, he didn't have the greatest game. I was surprised Texas Tech came right on back into that game, like you were saying. I mean, Texas kind of had a handle on it, and then Texas Tech just took off, and they had it. Bijan Robinson had a great game. It sucks that he fumbled it late. It's a damper, obviously. You lose the game on it, so it's the biggest damper there could be. But he had a great game. Yeah, shape up the defense a little bit, too. I mean, I do agree. They're not entirely back, but they're fine. I mean, they're not Texas back, but they're better than losing to Kansas back. So
right. And I think they're, like, I've heard some random reports, God knows if they're true, with Texas, that if Texas loses next week, that they're gonna fire Steve Sarkisian. So God, I mean, the thing is,
God, I hope they do it. I hope they
do
it.
I do too. They
just keep shooting yourself in the foot.
They just got Arch Manning, and the thing is, like, yeah. I 100%.
The only reason he's there is because of Sark. I mean, come on.
I 100% like don't believe it, but the back of my mind is like, it is Texas, you know, like, I don't know.
They might.
So we'll see. I definitely keeping an eye on them the rest of the way. I do think, you know, they need to take a little step forward. I think they will take a step forward, whether that's, you know, just becoming bowl eligible at the very least will be a big step for them. All right, the last game we'll recap. Middle Tennessee beat Miami 45-31. This was a slaughtering. Middle Tennessee's quarterback had 408 yards passing and 3 touchdowns. They moved the ball pretty much at will against this Miami defense, which probably says a lot more about Texas A&M after last week when they couldn't move the ball at will against this Miami defense. They get the win. They get the upset. We mentioned before that like Miami is a team that maybe isn't the greatest, but they're in the ACC kind of second level. They don't have the greatest home support. Tyler Van Dyke kind of trashed the home support they got last week, and boy, they didn't get it this weekend. And he got pulled at the end of this game too. Jake Garcia went in. He was a highly touted recruit. Kind of got some scoring drives in. I don't know if there's a quarterback controversy. I don't know, but losing to Middle Tennessee was not what they had on their bingo card. After earlier this year, Middle Tennessee lost to James Madison in their first ever FBS game.
Yeah, bold to blame the fans a little bit. I don't think you're allowed to do that when you, what, he threw like 50%? I was actually going to go right where you were going with that, where I think this is almost more telling about A&M, where, oh, cool, you beat a ranked team and you know, at home, blah, blah, blah. All right, you're back on track. Yes, they beat Arkansas this week too, but we also discussed how, you know, that was more Arkansas kind of throwing the game away. Mm-hmm. Now that Miami win looks a lot less impressive, and this is another case of, hey, maybe they're blue blood, that former blue blood is just not back yet. I think Mid Tennessee State had 4 plays, I think all through the air of 69 or more yards, which, you know, nice, but still, come on, man, that you cannot have that. You cannot have your secondary getting torn apart by that, like by a Conference USA mid-level team, and still expect to be in the top 25 or even considering yourself back. So while the offense struggled, the defense had no business getting torn apart like that.
No, they did not. And Mario Cristobal, you know, first year there, he's going to have to figure some things out. I think a lot of expectations were high just because, honestly, I think they were high because of Tyler Van Dyke. I think people were like, he played well in the ACC, and there wasn't a lot going on besides, recruiting and NIL stuff. But that remains to be seen. Those players never played a snap yet before that happened. So we'll see if that does come true in the next couple of years here. All right, let's go to our Week 5 picks. And Kyle, let's start it with a game we both want to talk about here. Let's start with UK and Ole Miss. It is UK traveling to your alma mater, and they are Ole Miss is favored by 7 points right now.
Which is way too much, I think. I think that's a bold bet if you're taking the Rebs. Ole Miss has a lot of injuries right now. The starting running back is maybe going to play. Defensive line has 2 guys out. Something that like most people don't know, because he's a brand new player, he's a transfer, but Corey Coleman is out, linebacker. He's been like disrupting everything all year through the first 3.5. I mean, he got injured last week, so the first like 3 or so games, I think that's going to be a significant loss for Ole Miss. They've got a couple linemen out too, and then, you know, I texted you earlier about this because I was like, I'm just curious, like, who does Kentucky have out? And it was like 1 guy. It's like, ugh, that's not good. So I have no idea where the 7-point spread comes from. Vegas seems to know, so maybe they just know better. But I want to lean Kentucky. They get Chris Rodriguez back. I think that's significant. I know the running game has been non-existent. It's literally the worst in the SEC, but I think Rodriguez coming back is a big thing. And, you know, as you know, I watched that Kentucky game start to finish last week. Will Levis looked good. Mm-hmm. He had 1 bad play, but everything else, he looked sharp. He's got an arm. I mean, he's got a cannon, let's be honest. He just has – the decision-making needs to be there. But with the injuries on that Ole Miss defense, you know, you have to get pressure on him. You got to force his bad decisions to happen, and I don't know if that's going to be able to happen this weekend. So, for the sake of it, I'm going to take Kentucky.
I'm taking them as well. I saw the line, and I know we texted each other like, this is kind of weird. Like, I don't know. It's just kind of messed up. So definitely, if you're a gambling person out there, I would take the points, if, you know, with Kentucky. But I'm taking Kentucky outright too. I originally going into this season, I was like, you know, this is a game UK will lose. They're going to Ole Miss. I thought that Ole Miss would maybe have Jackson Dart playing a little bit better by this point in the season. I thought he would be the go-to starter at the start of the year too. So maybe I was just wrong completely on that. And then after the injuries I've seen too, it's just that's a lot of injuries to deal with. Kentucky has plenty of offensive line issues this year, but they get Rodriguez back. I think that actually helps the offensive line. You see a guy break a tackle or two and get some more yards. Kind of opens up the playbook for Will Levis, too. So you're waiting. The only thing I'm more concerned about is Will Levis does make about two or three throws a game where it's like, what are you doing? And against Northern Illinois, maybe didn't hurt him as much. A couple of those interceptions dropped right in front of people, but against Ole Miss, it might. But I'll take Kentucky to win and win outright. I, again, did not think I was going to go that route even 2 weeks ago, but here we are.
I will say the window is certainly there. I don't think Lane has been playing his offense. Everyone sees what we did against Tulsa and everything. I don't think Troy, Tulsa, I don't think that's the offense. I think he's kind of been closing his hand because he knows that these are insignificant games. Just keep it covered for the Kentucky game because this is a huge game. Mm-hmm. I think if he – what I expect to happen is the offense is going to look a lot different. There's going to be a different game plan. We're not going to be so reliant on the run. Jackson Dart can make those throws. Mm-hmm. It's just from what I've seen, I'm basing this off of what I've seen, I think Kentucky has the edge. But and the injuries on Ole Miss, I just – it's a lot of guys out. I don't know. I don't like that. So,
all right. Well, hopefully you're right, buddy. I really do hope you're right. the next game up we have is Michigan and Iowa. An interesting game, I think. Michigan's favored by 10.5 on the road at Iowa. We know Iowa is the – they're literally the best defense in college football and the worst offense in college football. But a good test for Michigan because, again, they don't have too many big tests so far this year. The Maryland game was the closest thing we've seen to it so far.
I think the biggest thing helping Iowa is that they get to play at home. I think Michigan wins this, and I wouldn't be surprised whatsoever if they do cover that and with ease, to be honest. I remember last year watching Iowa and they had the best defense and, you know, whatever, that was their biggest thing. And then when they actually had to go up against stiffer competition, well, the defense just kind of floated away and they were not significant. So I think Michigan is able to win this one. Like we just talked about, you know, Corum and everybody, they had big games last week and that is a significant, that's a real Big Ten team. I think Maryland's definitely making a bowl game. I don't know if they're an 8 or 9 win team, but I do think that's no joke of a competition. I think Michigan does win this one. I think they cover.
I think Michigan wins. I think maybe they struggle for the first half. You know, just Iowa's defense plays tough. And, I kind of want to think about it a little bit. How good is Iowa's defense, even though they're ranked the best, when their offense has helped them out so little? That is really impressive what they've done. So I do think they make Michigan struggle. Maybe they shut down Blake Corum in this game, make J.J. McCarthy beat them, but I think Michigan has the talent on the outside. Remember, Ronnie Bell's returning from injury from last year. He's had a decent start to the season. I think Michigan will be able to win, probably cover as well. All right, Oklahoma trying to bounce back from their first loss of the season. They travel to TCU to take on the Horned Frogs. They are favored by 6.5 points on the road.
And I think they do bounce back. I think Oklahoma gets this one under control. Dylan Gabriel, he had a good game. I mean, that wasn't really the issue. I think they win this one. Kansas State struggled pretty mightily with SMU. SMU's not a terrible squad or anything. Not Kansas State, I'm sorry. I'm thinking of TCU. But wait a second, they are playing TCU.
Yeah, they are.
I'm getting all mixed up. I'm sorry. TCU struggled with SMU. I was correct. I still have Oklahoma in this one. I think they get it back under wraps, and, you know, they're still a favorite to win the Big 12 in my mind.
I'm going Oklahoma to win. TCU's been one of the teams where I'm kind of just not impressed with so far. I mean, they lost plenty of players. I know you know because you got the running back from last year. But they lost plenty of players.
And their best defense. That's the guy that's out against Kentucky.
That's true, true. And Sonny Dykes, I think, is a good coach. And he won against SMU, his former team, in a rivalry where they were telling him to, like, bury himself alive or something on the game day signs or whatever the heck it was. So I think they're a solid team, but I don't think they match up well with Oklahoma. I don't think the talent is there. I think Oklahoma should be able to get back on track and run the ball well and control the game a little bit better.
Yeah.
Next game up, we have Texas Tech at Kansas State. Kansas State favored by 8. I mean, maybe that game, they're favored by 8 against Texas Tech, who just upset Texas. I mean, maybe that game against Tulane really was just looking ahead to Oklahoma, Kyle.
It's definitely possible. I mean, these are two teams that are coming off of pretty huge, significant wins for their programs. I mean, neither one of these teams beat Texas or Oklahoma like that, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to you can't take the hangover, you know. Oh, one of these teams are going to have a hangover, so they're not going to win. I think on this one it's pretty even. I'm going to take Kansas State there at home. I really did like what I saw from Adrian Martinez back there. And Deuce Vaughn also still looks great. So, yeah, I think I do like Kansas State in this one. And I'm really interested in see how, like, just how far they can go this year. I mean, they're finally ranked. I don't know what the last time they were ranked is, but I'm kind of interested in what the Wildcats can do.
I am too. I really like their. I mean, Adrian Martinez is a good plug and play quarterback for them this season. I think he can do pretty well the rest of the way. But they have Deuce Vaughn. They have Phillip Brooks. They have Malik Knowles on the outside for wide receivers. They have some talent. They can do this. Chris Klieman is a very good coach. I think he gets the most out of his talent. He obviously won championships at North Dakota State. I think they can definitely make a bowl game at this point. They can maybe make a push in the Big 12, probably fall a decent amount short, but I think they can win and maybe even cover this game. Next one up is going to be one that a lot of people will be watching. We'll see if it lasts that long, but we have Alabama at Arkansas. Alabama's favored by 17.5 on the road.
I learned long ago you don't go against Alabama against the spread, so I think they cover it. But Bryce Young's kind of had some trouble this year. So, you know, that's the main thing that concerns me. Just because, like we talked about, Arkansas secondary has been so iffy. So Bryce Young actually has to be able to exploit that and do, you know, what we've seen he can do. But he also had elite receivers and everything. So, but I still think, you know, the Alabama defense is much better than anything Arkansas has seen this year. So I don't know how much free leeway KJ Jefferson's going to be able to get. I mean, bottom line is KJ Jefferson's arm is kind of average, but his legs are elite. I mean, he's got Cam Newton kind of legs where he just bowls over defensive linemen even. You're not going to be able to get that against Alabama. I mean, these are NFL-ready defensive players. So I think they, you know, like in past years, I think they find a way to stop them. It's just a matter of can the offense put up enough points, which I think they will to be able to win. I just don't know if they'll be able to, you know, cover the spread. But
I'm going Alabama to win. I'm going Arkansas with the points. This is more so about Alabama just struggling with Texas. That just still really bothers me. That how undisciplined they were, almost gave the game away. Like, how crazy it would have been if Texas would have won that game if Bryce Young was ruled down in the end zone. Just would have been crazy. I do think there's definitely some issues with the secondary. I love Jalen Catalan as a player, as a prospect. I kind of think they're missing that leadership there. But, you know, I think Arkansas is one of those teams that will play just about everyone at least decently close. Alabama might be the exception. Georgia might be the exception, too, in their conference if they ever played, but they don't. I think this is a game they keep it kind of close, but Alabama comes out on top. And for me personally, Kyle, I know I took Arkansas over 7 wins after that point. I just hope they can kind of get back on track. They got Mississippi State and BYU coming up after this. I think they can win both those games. It might be tougher, but I think they're talented enough to do it, even with the issues. So hopefully they will. All right, next one up, we have Oklahoma State at Baylor. This is a rematch of the Big 12 championship game where we had Baylor winning the game by just 1 yard, a goal line stand. Baylor's favored by 2.5 at home.
I think Gundy gets his revenge on this one. I haven't been impressed with Baylor this year. It's not like Oklahoma State's done anything too crazy, but I just think the veteran coach, you know, he gets his guys ready to go. I like Gundy at Baylor with this one.
I think this is going to be just a really close game overall still. I don't really know what to make of these teams, and I'll explain for both really quickly here. I think for Oklahoma State, last year they're such a defensive-minded team, and they had Jim Knowles, and Jim Knowles goes to Ohio State, and now they're like the old Oklahoma State team, so they're putting up some points, and they're I don't know, it just seems pretty different. And then Baylor, on the other hand, you know, just Blake Shapen was supposed to be a better passing quarterback. He had those issues with the receivers early. I'm going to take Baylor to win this one with the defense, I think, being the operative thing here. I think Blake Shapen has gotten a little bit better, so I'm going to take Baylor. Wake Forest and Florida State is a ranked matchup, not something maybe we thought we'd see, but Florida State has played well to start the season, and they are favored by 7 points.
I'm gonna go off the book here. I think I'm going Wake Forest. I really liked what I saw from Wake Forest last week. I know the defense struggled, but let's remember Clemson has tons of blue chips on that offense. I mean, that's a very talented offense. So I guess I can kind of give them some leeway there, but I love what I saw from Wake Forest's offense. And I think they can do enough on the road at Florida State even. I think they can do enough to win that game.
I'm going Florida State. I don't know about covering. That's a tough proposition there. But
yeah.
I think they've proven they're a little bit better this year. You know, giving Mike Norvell some time, maybe paid off. But I think Wake Forest has not been able to run the ball well. They haven't been able to – I mean, their secondary has, like I said, three players who were out, didn't affect them as much as I maybe even thought it would, even against Clemson. Clemson had a good day and everything, but just it's really tough when you have three players down. Jordan Travis has been a really, really good quarterback against pressure this year, so I'm going to take Florida State. I think they might be creeping their way towards being back, and we know how dangerous that gets, but you never know. Next one up, we have Texas A&M and Mississippi State. This is one where Mississippi State is favored by 3.5 points. So, again, these two teams are two other ones I just can't figure out.
It's so shocking that they're favored just because A&M is the ranked team. They just come off of two big wins. It's one of the favorites in the SEC. It always is. It's Jimbo and everything. I'm taking Mississippi State. I think maybe I wouldn't be surprised if they cover. I have not seen enough from A&M offensively to be able to keep up with the air raid of Mississippi State. I'm not saying it's this blowout offense. You know, I think it's kind of been tamed a little bit in the SEC. But I do think it's capable of putting up 3-4 touchdowns and maybe in a shootout, 5. I'm not convinced A&M can do that. I mean, it's a very dependent on run game with Devin Achane, and we haven't seen enough from the quarterback to make me think that they can go toe-to-toe in a shootout. So I do have Mississippi State in this one.
I have Texas A&M. I do not like picking this game. If I'm a gambler, I'm staying away from this one. This specifically just does not sound appealing to me because of Texas A&M's offensive issues. But they were able to run the ball last week. I think that's huge. If they can do it against Arkansas, I would think they could do it against Mississippi State. We'll see if Mississippi State's run defense can hold up there. But you mentioned Achane. He is a very good back. He is very, very quick. Very fast. He's got that. Oh, yeah. I mean, if you find an open hole for him, he is somewhat gone a lot of times. Anaya Smith will be out for this game at wide receiver for Texas A&M, but they have the talent at wide receiver. You're some nice young recruits who may or may not have badmouthed the university after their loss to App State, but they have them there. So I'll take Texas A&M with the points too. If I'm, you know, I'm not gambling on this game because it just seems like one that's going to go totally awry.
Which one's badmouthed them?
Was it Stewart?
And which other one?
I don't know which other one. All of them? I don't know.
I forget the one. It's the guy that's already, I think, going to be transferring.
Is he?
Don't mark it down here, but I've heard he's coming to Ole Miss. So
oh.
I'm very happy about
okay.
that.
Yeah.
I forget his name. I should know his name, but it was a former five-star or a high four.
But well, I mean, of course.
I believe he's got, yeah, if he went to A&M, of course, yeah. You know, that $1 million budget.
Yeah, we'll see.
$35 million.
We'll see what happens with that. I mean, it seems like a bad situation still, even to this day. But getting the win maybe cures all.
Yeah.
All right, the last one we'll pick of the week, Kyle. We have NC State, number 10. My preseason darlings. My team I talk about a bunch, who has maybe not lived up to that quite yet. And then Clemson. Clemson's favored by 6.5 points in this one. And it might be a hurricane game. Which it would just be amazing to watch. I love watching hurricane games.
Yeah, I'm sure people love playing in those too. I'm taking Clemson. I haven't watched NC State closely since that first week, but I did not like what I saw against East Carolina. Devin looked not good. And then Clemson has looked better as the season has gone on, I think. I mean, yes, the defense was very abysmal last week, but the offense has looked great. I think they do enough to get this win.
Sadly, I do too. I just haven't seen what I wanted to see out of NC State so far this season. And I, you know, I'm still a little skeptical about Clemson's offense. So if this was perfect weather, I might be more tempted to go NC State. Like, yes, I haven't seen what I want to see out of Devin Leary, but DJ was really bad last year, so I kind of want to see it more before I believe in it. With the hurricane, usually favors defensive football. Clemson's defense, yes, struggled last week. But they have some absolute dudes on that defense. This is like they got great edge rushers, a good linebacker. Their secondary is the reliability. That wouldn't be as big of a factor in a hurricane unless you're Brian Kelly trying to throw the ball 15, 20 times a game like he did against NC State a couple years ago because his coaching decisions are, you know, always the greatest. Yeah, awesome. Yeah. So I'm going Clemson. I think it'll be close. The Hurricane will keep it close. The defenses in this game will be the story because both I think both of them are very good. But I got to do it. I got to pick Clemson, unfortunately. All right, Kyle. Any final thoughts for the week?
All right, I have a question for you. Who is winning the Big Ten West?
Is it Minnesota?
Is it? Do you believe that?
I don't know. Their advanced metrics so far look good.
Like, I feel like I can name four or five teams that could win the Big Ten West.
I'm with you.
It's just like, I have no idea. I know they're not winning the Big Ten. Like, let's throw that out right now. They're not winning the Big Ten, but I'm just curious who's in that championship game. Because Wisconsin looks bad. Nebraska is bad, or they were anyway. Northwestern, 1-0 in the Big Ten West, has lost to three terrible teams. Yeah, Duke's okay. But and then you get Iowa, who they have no offense, but, you know, they look okay. Illinois is in the West. Am I right or wrong?
You're right.
Illinois looks okay. I feel like they could do it. I'm at five now. That's five teams. That's absurd. This entire Big Ten West could maybe win it. I don't know.
I'm with you. It's the most difficult division in terms of predicting who's going to win it. There's not an elite team there. There's a lot of average teams, in my opinion. And that kind of is why we're in this conversation. But I'm going Minnesota. That's my pick from here on out. I originally thought Wisconsin and Iowa, like, you know, Iowa's offense is always bad. I never imagined it being this bad. Like, that's kind of the thing.
It was this bad last year, though. I mean, they've always been bad. They just had more defensive touchdowns, I think. And they have them this year again. I mean, that's how they scored last week.
True.
And against Nevada. I mean.
And then go ahead.
No. All I was going to say is I think I want to go Iowa.
Okay. You're going to go Iowa either way.
Very, very hesitantly, though. I mean, like, oof. Don't put it in blood or
anything. Yeah, and Wisconsin, like the other favorites, we've been waiting. Graham Mertz was the highest-rated quarterback they've ever recruited. We've been waiting on him to develop since day one. He has not developed. He's arguably gotten worse.
And we've just been making fun of him since day one. I mean, if we're being totally honest, like, it's just kind of the Graham Mertz show. It's a joke. Like,
I think Minnesota, they got like a seventh-year quarterback in Tanner Morgan. P.J. Fleck has kind of got a system going there. I don't know. I think
Minnesota's a terrific gamble. I like that.
Well, I can look at the odds. I might have to go put some money on that. I mean, their schedule doesn't look too bad. Their only downside is I believe they have. So the only tough game they have left is Penn State at Penn State. Yes, they play some of these Big Ten West teams. I'm not counting them. But if you want to say Iowa, Wisconsin back to back to end the season, that's kind of tough. If both those teams are kind of bouncing back, who knows.
It's a big gamble here, but I'm just saying the last time Northwestern lost all three of their non-cons, they went to the Big Ten. They went to the Big Ten championship. So I'm not counting them out either. Okay, I know they play Penn State and Ohio State this year, but I'm just saying.
Well,
the path is there. Last time they lost all three, they went to the Big Ten.
Well, let me ask you about Northwestern since we're on the topic here. I mean, doesn't look good. Ooh.
I don't like
this. There have been people who have said that on my Twitter, so take that for what it's worth, that the reason why Northwestern was good all those years wasn't Pat Fitzgerald, it was the coordinators who the defensive coordinator left after 2020. I don't like to agree with that because I like Pat Fitzgerald and I think he's good, but it doesn't look good right now. I don't know what to say. I did not expect to look this bad.
See, they were bad even before that, though, and they've had bad years, too. My biggest qualm with all of this is I think the transfer portal is decimating Northwestern because they're getting their best players picked out. You know, the best defensive player went to Notre Dame. One of their best running backs went to UCF. They're not able to bring those guys in from the transfer portal because, well, it's Northwestern. So I do think that's a big part of it. I don't think the Fitz is just suddenly slipping. I mean, he's had down years before and he's come right back and went to the Big Ten championship game. I think it's just a matter of getting a handle on the transfer portal. The recruiting classes actually are looking better than they have in the past, which is good, but you got to keep those guys at home. You got to keep them here. So I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. I don't know if the guarantee of maybe a degree from Northwestern is good enough. They, like you said, they lost a lot of players too. Like, one of the best safeties in college football is Brandon Joseph. He's at Notre Dame. And it's just if you're a kid at Northwestern who has a chance to end up going play for Notre Dame, like, I don't blame you for leaving. There's got to be something.
Well, you're definitely going pro at Notre Dame. You're probably going pro at Northwestern, especially he was all SEC freshman his first year. So, I mean, he's definitely going to go pro, but you get a better opportunity at Notre Dame. Like, I totally understand it. Go chase that money. Like,
yeah, yeah, exactly. And he fills in for Kyle Hamilton, who was just a first-round pick after he went to pro. Like, it's...
And Notre Dame's also a terrific education, too. It's not like you're really gambling that away, either. You're still getting a great education, if that's what your, you know, focus is. But
yeah, I guess the only other thing I have for the week, Kyle, is just that it's, you know, if people on Twitter are talking about Pat Fitzgerald, which, you know, everyone on Twitter talks about people when they start losing, but... we got a lot of jobs that could be open this year. I know we say it every year, but like it's already started this year with how many schools. I know we talked about it last week. If you're going to fire these guys before the first month of the season's over, just do it before the season. And now we're already three down. We have Northwestern not looking good. We have Boston College not looking good. We know Auburn's going to fire Brian Harsin at some point. I mean, the list goes on and on.
It's going to happen.
It's just, you know, it's inevitable. So, I mean, this could be a historic year for the coaching carousel. And, you know, some of these jobs that are open, maybe some guys, like, hypothetically, like P.J. Fleck goes to Nebraska. That just opens up another big Power 5 job. It's a whole different thing that I think could be weird. And I don't know. It's just I love the coaching carousel. I mean, I hate when people lose their jobs because that's sad. But sometimes it's deserved. And sometimes it's fun to think about what coaches would be good where. So I don't know. I think it's going to be a crazy year both on the field and off the field.
Yeah, I'm sure we're going to touch on it more in the coming weeks.
Absolutely. So coming to you next week, we will have the week 4 recap, right? No, yeah, week 5 recap, the week 6 preview.
Five.
And we will also probably be talking about Brian Harsin and his possible replacements after he gets fired. That remains to be seen. We'll figure that one out. For now, thanks for listening. We'll see everyone next week.